Hello, my name is Carol Romeo, and I am an experienced marriage and family therapist, as well as a practiced spiritual counselor and author. I am here to share with you my journey leading me into the healing heart of God. It has been an amazing journey, and I am so excited to share it with many of you who have had past or present similar experiences as me. You will see in my books the many different ways God has reached into my heart and brought healing from the depth of His heart. Today, I will be sharing with you from my book, Journey into Wholeness. I am excited to introduce you to some psychological and spiritual tools that you can use to heal your heart from past or present wounds. My goal is to pass to you the techniques that I found helpful in my own recovery so that you can gain a clear directive for your path. Have you heard the statement, God takes our mess and turns it into our life message? Well, that is exactly what He did for me, and it is exactly what He will do for you as well. I grew up in an alcoholic family system where I also suffered abuse and neglect. My father and stepmother were alcoholics, and my stepdad sexually abused me. The aftermath was the dysfunctional behaviors that I carried with me into my marriage and towards my relationship with my children and stepchildren. At age 30, my household was pretty much a mess. My husband and I were both alcoholics and both angry. I finally realized that I needed help. Thankfully, my search landed me at a church where I began my relationship with Jesus Christ. He led me into a path where I discovered the healing exercises I needed to inch my way into wholeness. One thing I would encourage you to remember as you begin this journey is it is not an instant fix. Depending on the length of time you have traveled in your unruly behaviors, this part of your journey can be lengthy. Be aware, however, that as you apply some of the tools I give you, recovery is possible. In my book, I also talk about some psychological tools that you can adopt into your recovery program. Because of the level of my then emotional distress, I was very much in need of the interventions I was learning from my training as a psychotherapist. The combination of applying both psychological and spiritual disciplines brought much healing to me. My personal experience birthed a passion in me to bring my discovery to others, hence the writing of my book, Journey into Wholeness. Our personhood is constructed of body, soul, and spirit. A good question to ask yourself is, what part of me is ruling right now? If the body is leading, it can show up as an addiction, unhealthy attachments, or even sickness. If the soul is leading, it can show up as unruly emotions of all sorts: fear, anxiousness, anger, depression, helplessness, or mistrust. Finally, in our spirit, we can discover unholy spiritual attachments to a person or material possession. You will find, though, when you ask God for His help, your spirit can be renewed by the Holy Spirit, who then joins you in the healing process. The teachings that I outline in my book will give you a path to follow, which will lead you into wholeness. The 8 topics include introduction to our trauma history, following the Holy Spirit, steps to emotional health, acting from our true self versus our false self, stages of growth, defense mechanisms, gaining trust and hope in God, and transformation. If you feel trapped in harmful behaviors or out of control emotions, the acknowledgement of your current condition is already the first step towards recovery. The next step is the decision-making step. Do you want to choose to do the work that is needed to get well? If your answer is yes, a good place to start is right here, searching for the wisdom that you need to progress in your journey. Another very important step is asking God for His help. His assistance is like a key, empowering us to open the door leading into wholeness. This step requires transparency, giving God the mess of your life. We not only need to be honest with ourselves, but also with God. Transparency begins with self-examination, but it is not complete until we let our internal conflict be known to God. Sometimes we avoid transparency with God because we may not like what we see when we look that closely at our thoughts, emotions, and behavior. Shame and guilt are the emotional states we can carry from the past, especially when we have suffered any form of abuse. Often we are afraid of God's judgment, when in actuality, we are usually judging ourselves. At this stage of the process, we need to learn about the grace and the forgiveness of God. In my book, I have included a chart which exposes the lies we have believed about ourselves, usually coming from the wounds, and the truth, what God says about us, that we can use to apply God's grace to ourselves. Here are several examples from my chart. The truth, I am chosen, and that's from 1 Peter 2:9, replaces the lie, I am worthless. The truth, He will not forget me, Isaiah 49:15, replaces the lie, I am forgotten. This process involves learning what the Lord says through His Word, and opening your heart to apply the truth to yourself. My encouragement to you is that you study God's Word, challenge the lies you've believed, and exchange them with His truth. You can find a more complete listing of truth and lies in my book. Another thing to look at in your self-examining is taking notice of the ways in which you respond in your relationship with others. There is a difference between an action and a reaction. An action is a conscious, thought-out choice which will determine how you want to act. A reaction often comes from a wounded place that hasn't yet been healed. When we are not letting the Holy Spirit guide and empower us, our first thought and action can be a reaction. Those responses will give you an indication of what needs to shift. An example of this is the person who frequently acts out of anger and gets stuck in that reaction. Usually, when emotions are mismanaged, the person experiences their emotions as out of control or shut down. One thing that can happen if we are not paying attention to our emotions is we can create an emotional downward spiral, which looks like emotional distress, which leads into addictive behavior. For me, it was alcoholism, which then leads to shame and guilt, into powerlessness, into despair, and further down into an emotional breakdown. I vacillated between either acting out in anger or hidden in my bedroom in silence. that is where I found myself when I finally decided that I needed help. What I want you to know is you don't have to go there. You can begin right where you are. You can decide right now to give your struggle to God. Before my healing, I did not realize that healing was available. I failed to realize that God was not only available, but active in my emotional healing. When we look further at God's intentions, we will find that it is God's deepest longing for us to be made into His image and reflect His glory. So, of course, He is involved in our healing. Our emotions are God-given. They are how we connect to God and one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And that's 1 John 4:7. The Lord uses His emotions to connect to us. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. And that's from Psalms 86. In actuality, emotions themselves aren't good or bad. It's what we do with them that determines whether they are helpful or hurtful. This process of going from experiencing our emotions to discovering a healthy expression of the emotion takes effort and it takes time, but it is worth it. It is worth it. When I decided to give the Holy Spirit time to act, changes in my mental state began to change. Some of the shifts occurred instantly, but many of my internal conflicts took God and me time to reach the goal. However, as I kept yielding my thoughts and behaviors to Him, the more peace I found. Fear transformed into peace, anxiety into rest, anger into acceptance, depression into hope, helplessness into confidence, mistrust into trust. You can find a more complete list in my book. There are two things I would like you to be alerted to during this process. To look inward, that's the first one. To look inward and become aware of your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And number two, to keep your heart open to God to receive direction and healing. You can use the self-awareness chart in my book to aid your process. You can even use those inquiries throughout your day as a checkpoint to see if there's anything that needs to shift. Another thing to be aware of when you look inside is for any defense mechanisms. Our psyche uses these defenses to help us deal with internal or external stressors. But used excessively, we can become trapped in a behavior which will actually halt our growth. Some examples are denial, projection, obsessions and compulsions, withdrawal and rationalization. These defenses and more are described in my book. As we heal, we can find healthier ways to deal with our hurts, anxieties, and stressors. In your process, as you journey into wholeness, one exciting occurrence is the discovery of your true self. God's design for us was birthed from the purity of Holy Spirit He placed in us. The identity that He created for us, however, became tainted by the world's influence. In my book, I outline the differences between what I call my identity rooted in Christ versus my identity rooted in the world. Satan is director of the world's plan. But we have a choice whose path we want to follow. Jesus Christ is eager for us to choose His way. And when we do, the Holy Spirit is ready to encourage us and empower us to trust His way. I have labeled our identity in Christ as the true self, and our identity in the world as the false self. Whatever self we pay the most attention to, the greater control it has over us. In our character, we reap the fruit of the source in which we are rooted in. In Christ, we reap trust, belonging, creativity, sense of worth, innocence, and godly desire. This path leads us to our fulfilled destiny. Ruled by the world, we reap foolish imaginations, insecurity, rejection, unworthiness, and shameful flesh desires. This path leads us into pain or pride and lack of fulfillment. God offers us the power to be changed, but we have to make the choice. Jesus created us to be his partner. If he simply transformed us solely by his power, we would not be fulfilling his plan to join him in showing his love to the world. Because he gives us a choice, however, we have the ability to join him in fulfilling his righteous plan. By opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, we receive the power to bring God's glory to the world. Instead of being ruled by the world, we can be instruments to change the world. Nevertheless, sometimes we forget about God's bigger plan, and we get caught up in the world's pressures and the pressures we feel coming from within. Our plans then come from the activity of the false self, the masks used to protect us from the outside judgments, and the hidden wounds and hurts from the past. The false self also produces ungodly desires and develops ways to meet those desires outside of God's plan. If you find yourself inside the struggle between the true self and false self, remember to call out to God. He doesn't leave us alone in our ability to perform rightly. When you feel like you lack the power to change, remember that it is God's design to bring us to our destiny. When we invite God to be a part of the struggle, we are actually inviting him to do what he is already involved in. I don't know about you, but I think this is an absolutely amazing occurrence. The only thing he asks of us at that point is transparency. This poem from my book reveals Christ's invitation to travel deeper into his heart and our response to him in that process. Here is my poem. Come, my child, into the depths of my love. Will it hurt? I asked of him. Sometimes, he said. But do you want to know me? Oh, yes, yes, I replied. Come, take me to places even I have not seen. But I have seen them, he said, and they are not ugly to me or shameful. They are the jewels that will open the doors to my love. But Jesus, that doesn't make sense, I told him. Those dark places seem so dark. Child, dark is really light through my eyes. Will you see what I see? Will you hold the lantern of my spirit and walk down with me into the hidden places? I will, my Lord, but I need you to show me the way and give me courage. I will not fear if you are with me. Yes, my child, yes, I will be with you. But will you choose to come? I am calling to you. Come to me. Come deeper, deeper still. When you decide to say yes to the Lord and decide to uncover the places you work so hard to protect from the view of others. The Lord then reaches to us with His healing grace and exposes the true self within. The wholeness we were searching for is right there, hidden under the false self. Throughout our lives, we experience various challenges. We can respond to those challenges with either the false self or the true self. I am so glad that God alerted me to the harm I was causing myself and others when acting out of my false self. When my eyes were opened, my first response was, "This is impossible." Then I turned back to God. His help was amazing. His word assures us, never doubt God's amazing power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. That's from Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Translation. Therefore, I implore you to be kind to yourself, no matter how long or how short this part of your journey is. God will grant you the help that you need. As I have journeyed with the Lord in my healing process, I have discovered that the process is a circular process. By that I mean the more healing that I experienced in my emotions, the greater attachment I felt with the Lord, and vice versa. As my faith grew, I also grew more stable in my emotions and found that the process became lighter. When we begin to notice how much healing is coming to our soul, that can be a strong motivator to continue the practice. Trust is another focus in my book. When I think of trust, I always think of peace. If I ask people what emotion they would most want to gain, a great many people say peace. That is not surprising to me, as much of the world we live in is driven by achievement, which actually can lead to striving and chaos. It is easy for our false self to be drawn into looking for fulfillment in worldly possessions or ambitions. Peace remains outside of our experience until we can look to God for the contentment that He can bring us. Trusting in God is a many-faceted endeavor, although the key belief is the goodness of God. God is a good God who has good things for me. That belief should be our resting place. God's word tells us, trust in the Lord and do good. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. And that's from Psalm 37. Trust can also come to our hearts as we learn to rest before God and receive from Him the love and grace that He has to give. One type of prayer that teaches the heart to rest is meditative prayer. His word directs us to meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. That's from Psalms 4:4. When I learned this kind of prayer, it was a season of my life where I was very anxious. I was going through some physical trials and was having difficulty trusting the Lord. The posture I found that quieted my troubled heart was lying on the floor looking up to God. My emotions were set on simply receiving the love of God. I continued that practice morning and night. Gradually, more and more peace and rest were reducing the anxiety. I talk more about my experience in my book, and I also have guided meditations entitled Unity in Christ. As we live our lives, we will discover that each growth stage can produce some needs that weren't present at the prior stage. Our needs can then uncover numerous questions in our minds concerning God's ability to meet those needs. If our need is for safety, our question for God may be, in a world full of danger and chaos, is God a good God? Will He protect me? If our need is for belonging, our question may be, is God a personal God? Does He care about me? The way we resolve our questions will either move us towards God and towards healing, or adversely, our inability to find a resolve can result in a stuck place that we will have to revisit again. You will find in my book both spiritual and psychological applications to apply to your process and aid your forward movement. I present in a clear fashion the pros and cons of the thoughts and behaviors which can promote or hinder the desired outcome. What you learn can help you avoid some of the bumps and detours that you may encounter. God's design for you is good. Can you acknowledge His goodness and from that place respond to His plan? My name is Carol Romeo. Thank you for tuning in today. I enjoyed meeting with you. Look for my future podcasts entitled The Healing Heart of God, as well as my book, Journey into Wholeness. And please, don't forget to subscribe. May you walk in many blessings.